It is true, all things are possible because He is here, and everything is bound to faith, to the faith that He not only can do it, but wants to do it, will do it. The word or term can is not in question. He can do everything. He can raise the dead. He can make the blind see. He can do all things. There is nothing He cannot do. Our question is only whether we can believe that He will do it, that we understand that He wants to do it because He has promised it and wants to remain faithful to His word, must remain faithful. He cannot do otherwise. I see we have visitors here. We are always grateful for the patience of our brothers and sisters who have to look after visitors all the time. It is always nice to visit somewhere. That is wonderful. Those who are used to it and understand it well will find it beneficial. But entertaining visitors for a few days is fine. When it reaches a week, it becomes difficult. And if it lasts longer, it can also become burdensome. But our brothers and sisters in this place, whoever does this, are blessed. I would like to thank all these brothers and sisters sincerely and from the bottom of my heart. It is not an easy thing to do. Those who are not used to it do not know what it entails. Nevertheless, we welcome everyone very warmly. We are glad that we have the opportunity to welcome visitors, to accommodate them, to care for them, and to know that they feel at home. We hope that soon the borders will be so free that people will be able to fly over them like birds in the sky without seeing barbed wire and without having to go through extensive checks. One brother reported firsthand what is happening in Russia and how freedom and the change, indeed a revolution that no one would have thought possible, are taking place. And the brother reported how he crosses the border into Russia with a large number of cassettes and goes in with the sermons that Brother Schmidt prepares here. He always wants to remain anonymous, but the Bible says that we should give thanks to those who do the work in our midst. You can only expect me to act biblically and to take this position. We are grateful, grateful that we have people in Russian, in Polish, in Czech, and we are grateful to God that He has sent us these people for this purpose. Just say Amen. Say Amen again, because I will come back to that in a moment. In Africa, it is customary, when joyful things are said, the Amen comes like a shot. You really should experience that sometime. But coming back to these trips, to the care, it is just, well, we expected it, but we could be like the people who prayed for Peter to be released. And when he knocked on the door, they thought it was his angel. Did you all read that? They thought he was still in prison, but his angel was there, knocking at the door. No, the angel only comes when we are to go over there. Here we are still knocking ourselves. But it can happen to us that we pray and believe. And when the things we have prayed and believed for are standing at the door, we don't even open the door. Then we run in and say, "Listen, someone is knocking, but it can't be Peter. It must be his angel." What did they pray for? That the angel would be released or that Peter would be released? Who should they have expected? Who? Yes, they should have expected Peter. But we all catch ourselves being human in spiritual matters. And yesterday evening, a very kind person who still calls himself an unbeliever, he said to me, "If only believers could remain as reasonable as we unbelievers are, it would be better." I don't want to go into detail here. In any case, we have much to learn. We have to learn to practice tolerance, to let everyone be as they are, to respect decisions that someone else makes. God has not made us judges, nor has He given us responsibility. But with believers, it always seems to be the case that they are always responsible for everything everyone else does, but they don't think about what they themselves do. But that is not our responsibility either. Let's come back to Russia. I am delighted. Whether I have already said this here or not, my siblings know it. Our father experienced his conversion in Russia during the First World War, and somehow it was real and good. It lasted a whole lifetime. And coming from the East, we have a certain relationship with these peoples and are overjoyed that God is now bringing about a change there. And I would be even more delighted. I have never been tempted to greet a head of state. I have greeted and got to know a few diplomats on my travels, but I have not spoken about it. But this man, I would like to greet him one day. I would like to shake his hand, and I know that God will preserve him until everything that is to happen has happened, so that the gospel can also be freely preached there. How many of you would like to see divine life come also to our country? All hands go up, all of us, Brother Russ, Brother Schmidt, all of us say Amen, all of us. But we hunger and thirst for God. We hunger and thirst for God. And we have the promise that we will be satisfied. Only I will have the resolve not to speak so forcefully anymore. My heart is sometimes really hanging by a thread. I mustn't try so hard anymore. It's just not possible anymore. I told Brother Russ that today. He was my hairdresser again. Or did I tell him that another time? I have a bad memory. In any case, he said, "You can't help it," whenever that was. Sometimes you start slowly, and then, over time, the power of God and the blessings of God come, and so on. Who can then still stand at the front or sit in the audience half asleep? Then we are all completely carried away. Thanks be to the Lord for that. I also have greetings to pass on, especially from our brothers and sisters in the faith who have been in the message for many years. And he told me something during his last visit to the United States, and it is almost impossible to say this publicly, but there are really people who are unable to keep their senses together. And it is precisely where God has done something, that's where the devil is most at work. to discredit the work of God. What do you think the devil is interested in today? Surely not in stopping the people who walk in his ways. Them he gives just a little push in the direction they have already taken. The ones he makes life difficult for are the believers. And where there is truth, that is his task. And he knows his task very well. He must ensure that untruth and everything like that also comes. But it touched me deeply because I knew that Brother Branham had been called the Son of Man, the Word made flesh. Yes, they even went beyond that. But now people come into the office and greet this young man with Lord, assuming he is the Lord, saying, "Good morning, Lord." That goes beyond anything a human being on earth can allow himself. God forbid that I should ever experience that personally. I don't want to comment on it here, but that would be the end, because then there would be serious trouble in the office, and the man would be thrown out of the window. One would have to take the whip like the Lord and strike him from the neck to the heels and knock a few things over and put things in order as is proper. Let every person be a human being. I think of my beloved Lord when he walked here on earth as prophet and Son of Man. He did not accept any worship. Did you know that? He even said, "Why do you call me good master? No one is good except God alone." Here in his humanity, he humbled himself as a servant and said, "Worship God." And there are people, I don't know. I experienced this once many years ago in Zurich when I went there to arrange the meetings when we didn't have any yet. And I ended up in the Volkshaus because it had been recommended to me. And there they had someone from America whom they called Father Divine. And they worshipped this man as their father, as God the Father. Jesus Christ was the Father revealed in the Son, and now that one was again the Son revealed as the Father. And I only listened in briefly and spoke to this guard, to this doorkeeper. I said, "Come outside with me." And then I addressed him directly and asked him if they really meant that they believed that this man was now the Lord Jesus again and had been addressed with the title Father. He said, "Of course." I can't repeat the two sentences that came out of my mouth. But I told this man that your God also needs to go to the toilet and so forth. That was really the end. That was the end. We have a responsibility to the living God to destroy all idolatry, and it's best to hit right on the head, not somewhere else, but right on the head, and then, like Moses, smash the whole calf, and then you should turn it to dust and pour it into the water and let the Israelites drink it, or the people of today, whoever they may be, so that it really turns their stomachs. No, the zeal for the house of God, for the pure doctrine, for the cause of God in general, consumes us. We cannot just put a good face on the matter. We don't need a single dollar or the favor of a single person. God with us shall be our watchword, and that is enough for us forever, until the last day. We need nothing more. God with us, that's all we need. If he goes with us, all will be well. He will see to it that all is right. I have probably said too much again, but be that as it may, let us briefly consider the thoughts from Romans 4 in a little more depth. You know that Romans 4 was the chapter that helped Martin Luther to believe, that opened his eyes, that led him to repentance, that made him recognize God's plan with humanity. It was the chapter that allowed him to distinguish between grace and promise, between faith and law. It was decisive for his experience with the Lord. In this chapter, as later in Galatians and later in Hebrews, especially chapter 11, Paul lays down the fundamental truth that we have already experienced and recognized in part, namely that God does not justify people on the basis of the works of the law that we do on our part, but that he chose and predestined those who were to be justified before the foundation of the world to behold his glory. And as Brother Ruth said earlier, it is written in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, I have given them the glory that you gave me. Just quickly tell me the verse you read, then I can read it again. But it's definitely in chapter 17, isn't it? Verse 22, hoping that's right, I'll read it. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Amen. As far as God is concerned, it is such a perfect thing, completed and perfected for eternity, but runs its course over time until it is assigned to perfection and merges into it. Here in Romans 4:13, we read, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. We can read on about law and grace and faith. In the second part of verse 16, it says, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Abraham believed 400 years before the law. He believed God. He believed what God had told him would happen. And that brought him righteousness of faith. God justified him because he believed him. The second part of verse 18 says, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old. He considered and realized it, but he did not dwell on it. It meant nothing to him. He knew that God had spoken here. God made a promise. Things that are visible, that are physically present, do not count at all. For him, only what God had said counted as an existing reality. That is faith. It must be the same for the sick and the lost. We cannot look at the state we are in We must look at what God has made us. In Christ, He did not only give promises. In Him, He made them yes and amen. In Him, they became reality to the glory of God by us. Thus it is written, not without us, but through us. Then it goes on here, nevertheless, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. And then in verse 21, or let's read 20 to the end, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. 100%. I mean, that is a sublime, a blissful faith. When we believe that God can do anything, when we do not want to limit him to what seems possible to us, but as God said in Abraham's time, is anything too hard for me? He had spoken, and he can do what he said. If we are talking about this faith or reading about it, you can find it confirmed again in Romans 9. Romans 9. Here it says in verse 8, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Just as Isaac was the promised son of Abraham, so Jesus Christ was the promised son of God, who had to be manifested in the flesh to make us human children into God's children. So the promise applied to him individually and through him to all who like him are born of the Spirit and the Word. Here it says, the children of the promise are counted for the seed. We could go into more detail here. Let us go straight to Galatians 3, so that you can see the context. Galatians chapter 3. Here Paul explains it very clearly once again. I will read verse 8 and then from verse 14. Galatians 3 verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So, not one nation, but all. And that agrees with two scriptures I would like to quickly pick out. One from Psalm 2, which we all know. Here it says in Psalm 2, here it is in Psalm 2, verse 8, ask of me, and I shall give thee the nations for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Not just one nation, namely Israel, but the nations, the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession, already promised in the Old Testament as the father of many nations. We find the same thing confirmed in Isaiah 49, verse 6. It says, I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. I will give thee for a light to the Gentiles. We went through all this. Now come back with me to Galatians 3, verse 14. Here it says, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Then Paul continues, I'll read it quickly, verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He says not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Have you noticed the harmony in all this? Harmony. He is the promised Savior, and we are to receive the promise of the Spirit as the redeemed. And in Galatians 4, the well-known scripture, verse 28, now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. What shall we say about this? We can only praise God, who has given us access to His plan of salvation. We can only offer God honor, praise, glory and worship for His grace and the privilege, not to seek salvation in our own way, but in God's way, and not to go astray, but to follow the Lord. And no one who follows Him will go astray. From these scriptures, we learn that God had people on earth who received promises, and they became a blessing. And then we have those who recognized the promised Messiah as their Savior. And not only that, but also the promises revealed by the Spirit. For look, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God, and He declares things to come. He reveals things past, present, and future, and arranges them in their proper order, as it should be. We have also said often enough, there has never been a time when God's plan of salvation has been revealed so powerfully and deeply as in our days. And we have the great privilege, in humility before our Lord, to give thanks to Him for including us in this plan of salvation. That we are not merely observers or spectators, but may participate in what God is doing now. Everything has been promised, the grace for the church and for Israel, the portion for the church and the other portion for Israel. Everything is already contained in the Holy Scripture, and everyone, according to what is intended for them, will receive it and experience it. We believe that we have been destined to recognize, believe, and experience the promises God has given for this time, for the completion of the New Testament Church, just as He promised in His Word. It has always been so, and cannot be otherwise now. John referred to the word that was written about him. At the time of fulfillment, we will refer to the scriptures that pointed to our days, when the prophets and apostles spoke of them. We will be able to say, today, this scripture is being fulfilled before our eyes. It must come to it. It was like that back then, and it's like that today. God is the same. The scripture cannot be broken. God keeps His promises. He will never get into trouble. At the right time, He will do what is right. As I said, much could be said here. In Hebrews 11, faith and promise are mentioned at least 20 times. Faith and promise, faith and promise. It's the tenor throughout the entire chapter. And when Brother Branham said that real faith is a revelation, then we can truly understand that. Faith is revelation, but not your revelation or mine, not something concocted in your mind. Divine faith is, as with Abraham, the revelation of God's will based on the promises God has given. And in these promises, based on this divine revelation, this living faith is then anchored. And then come what may, it will stand firm. I say again, God keeps His promises. Praise be to His name. Amen. Let us rise and worship. My God, we are overwhelmed by Your word, by Your grace, by the clarity You have given us. Lord, who are we that we may stand so directly before Your face and that You speak to us mouth to mouth, not as You did then on earth, but now from heaven. And if those to whom You spoke on earth did not escape, how shall we escape if You speak to us today from heaven, through Your word and through Your Spirit? Lord, make a way for Yourself, a way for Your people. Take away every obstacle, all little faith, all unbelief, all timidity, so that our faith may be anchored in the promises of God, and that You may go forward with us. Lord, together we thank You once again from the bottom of our hearts, also for this evening, for all that You have already done and are doing now and will continue to do until the completion. We especially pray for the Soviet Union, its leader and the entire government. We pray for all of Eastern Europe. We bless these countries in the name of the Lord. And we ask You, faithful God, that Your blessing may come upon them and upon those who are called out, so that the number may be complete and You may return. We also pray for China, Mongolia, and all that is yet to be reached. Grant grace that it may happen quickly. We thank You once again from the bottom of our hearts, Almighty God, for sending Your servant and prophet. Without him, we would not have known the direction. We would not have found the way. We would not have known what You have promised for this time. Faithful God, You have been gracious to us and have shown us Your ways with Your people so that we may walk in them. We ask You to be with us until the end. Bless us here on Saturday. Bless us on Sunday. Bless my beloved brother. Grant him joy. Grant him inspiration and the anointing of Your Spirit. Let Your people be grateful, that he may feel that they are not only chairs, but people who have received life from God and who rejoice that Your word is being proclaimed. Faithful Lord, bless all brothers, all sisters, bless also in Switzerland, bless in Austria, bless everywhere. We also pray now for the meetings that are to begin in a week. We ask You to make us all a blessing, O Lord, so that all who come may be blessed. Grant us unity and liberty in the Spirit, and unite us in Your love. Almighty God, we thank You for everything. In Jesus' holy name. Amen.